Welcome to another episode of the In the Pen podcast, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. It is the first episode of 2023. I am your host, as always, Callan Elslinger, and I'm joined, as usual, by Rick Cram and Jay Crumpler. Guys, Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a great holiday.
Happy New Year. I'm looking forward to what the 2023 season brings us here.
Yeah, it should be a pretty great year. I'm pretty excited to see what it has in store. I had a pretty exciting New Year's, like I was telling you before the pod. I drank an entire bottle of Martinelli, so you know for sure that it was a party.
Yes, I'm sure you had that lovely hangover next morning with that apple cider and a rough morning from that. But no, it's a great start to 2023 until you have to watch your Oakland A's play, and then it'll be a downturn. But
hey, that's why you have two teams, bro. That's why I'm a Giants fan as well.
Good point. And Rick, I could say the same about your Red Sox, but who knows? I don't know what's going on there. But I'm going to say all this now, and then the Yankees will start off slow, and I'll get roasted a week in the season. And I'm very prepared for that. But we have a lot to get into. There's actually been, last time we recorded, we did a whole news episode, and was like, okay, we're maybe done talking about news. Nope, there was actually some pretty important news that took place, some trades, some waivers, and some off the field issues that are going to impact fantasy baseball. So we're going to get into that, and we're going to start previewing some teams. We'll get deeper into every bullpen as we get closer to spring training, but for now we want to start getting some teams on the radar, some bullpens for you guys to monitor going into spring training, so that you have an idea of those teams you want to target for the pens that have deep names that are not just a closer deep and have people you want to get for both your saves and your holds. But we'll start, as always, with news, and start off with probably the biggest news in terms of what we cover. Obviously, it's bigger than off the field, or bigger than fantasy baseball, but Liam Hendricks is going to be undergoing treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which will sideline him for an undisclosed period of time. We've seen it in the past with Trey Mancini, with how long his treatment took him out off the field. So obviously, our best wishes are to him and his family, and hope that he comes back healthy, gets through this, and for us fantasy baseball fans, gets on the field soon enough. But as we go into the 2023 season, it does beg the question of what the Chicago White Sox bullpen has in store because of that. We kind of previewed it last episode where there's trade rumors for Liam Hendricks, but Rick, we'll start with you. With Hendricks likely to miss the start of the season and be out for an undisclosed period of time, who are you considering the favorite right now for saves for Chicago?
It's probably going to go back to Kendall Graveman. Unfortunate situation with Hendricks. One of the better guys in baseball. Hopefully everything, works out long term. But yeah, probably we're not going to see him at the start of the season. So Kendall Graveman's, the name at the end of drafts to start circling. Not really inspiring last season. He was okay, but after they spent a huge chunk of money on him, he's just, kind of lacking in the strikeout department. So, but if he's the clear cut closer in Chicago, someone you want to monitor and take a chance on in most leagues.
Jake, is anybody else you want to monitor for Chicago, or do you think Graveman has this locked down, or any other names we should be keeping an eye on going into the spring?
First, I'd like to echo your guys' sentiments about Hendricks and hope that he recovers fully and quickly. Cancer is really difficult to deal with, even for family members. So my best wishes go out to him. In terms of fantasy, I think I have to agree with Rick that Kendall Graveman is likely the front runner. The White Sox do have a new manager, so we don't really know how he's going to deal with that bullpen. Tony La Russa definitely had his ways of being goofy every once in a while, so he was pretty unpredictable, but maybe this new manager will be a little more familiar with how he uses his bullpen. I think his name's Pedro Grifol. Other guys that I'm looking at in that bullpen, I really like what Reynaldo Lopez did last year. I don't know if he ever does get a chance at the closer role, but Joe Kelly also was really unlucky last year, and we talked about him earlier in the offseason, so I think he's also got a shot at closing out games if Graveman sort of flounders.
Yeah, the White Sox service team, we always kind of go into the season expecting big storms, and they always call them fall shorts. We know how deep the for the most part, that lineup is. We know what their starting rotation is. If they can turn things around, I think the White Sox could be plentiful for saves. So I think there's definitely some late round targets. It wouldn't even shock me if there's still some free agents out there. And I don't know if any of them will eat into the saves, but some names to monitor out there. And I could see them making another move to bolster a pen. So monitor that closely over the coming weeks as we get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. But if no one else does, I would echo your guys' sentiment, Kendall Graveman. And I do really like the Ronaldo Lopez call. He's gotten a lot of excitement in the fantasy industry over the past few weeks since this, as excited as you can get about this sort of news for a fantasy player. But he's someone I definitely want to monitor and can see getting some saves down the stretch as we get into the season. But we'll move over to some of the other free agent news from this, this past offseason. We'll start in San Francisco before we get into the biggest trades. They did sign two relievers since the last time I recorded. They signed Taylor Rogers to a 3-year, $33 million deal, and Luke Jackson to a 2-year, $11.5 million deal. I'm sure we're mainly going to focus on Taylor Rogers there, but Jake, how do you think this impacts the San Francisco pen? Does Rogers step in with Doval? Is there going to be a mix and match like we fought last year? What's your outlook right now in San Fran?
I think it's pretty hard to tell right now. I really hope that it doesn't affect Doval's development because he's really shown to be one of the up-and-coming relievers. He's got stuff very similar to Emmanuel Clase, so I think he's definitely got a ton of potential in that arm. So I hope Rogers coming in doesn't really take away from his positive development as he gets older, but Rogers definitely has the most experience of being a closer in that bullpen. It's really not a deep bullpen. It's not a lot of guys with a lot of experience, so I think he could really help solidify that bullpen. I do think that there is a big possibility that he takes the majority of the save opportunities, though he's very familiar with not closing out games, and I think he would be a good setup man being used all throughout the game as like the fireman. So I think that's definitely a possibility as well. The Giants are so analytically focused that you would sort of be inclined to think that they would go with the sort of modern approach of not having a single closer. And so that's what I'm sort of leaning on, is that they'll sort of just match up when they can, try to keep Doval's load light and keep the pressure off of him, especially if they want to have playoff aspirations. You want to keep him at the height of his game and hopefully have him for the playoffs. So I think there's definitely a possibility that they share opportunities, but you know, I don't know. I think it's 50-50 right now, whether or not one person's named the closer or if they split. And then Luke Jackson is going to be recovering from Tommy John surgery for the majority of the season, so that's why it's a multi-year deal. So we likely won't see a lot of him until September.
Rick, anything you want to add to that? Or
no, that pretty much, it's a good point that, and we've seen it with Kapler before, with him not really having a go-to closer and mixing and matching things. So yeah, Rogers definitely eats into Duvall's, I guess, value as we, you know, get ready to start the season. And I'm curious as to how Luke Jackson got himself $11 million. I don't understand that at all, but you're right. He's not gonna pitch this year really much, maybe later in the year. And then, you know, he'll come back next year and probably be in a setup or middle relief role. But it's just, that's an interesting contract to me that I was kind of did not understand at the time.
It's fun, too, that they'll have both the Rogers brothers in the same bullpen. I can only imagine being on a MLB team with my brother. That would probably drive me nuts, but it'll be fun to see them battle it out and mix and match. They do have two funky deliveries, so that is a cool storyline to follow. But in terms of fantasy, I would agree with you. I think it's going to be a mix. We saw it last year, like I said, with Jake McGee and Camilo Duvall, although eventually Camilo Duvall took the job and kind of ran with it, although we wonder if it was because of just Jake McGee being Jake McGee, or was it Stovall just being breaking out and taking the job. So I would side with you guys on it being more of a 50-50, but keep an eye on it. We may see some tendencies early on in the season, or if Kapler says anything going into spring training about the way he's leaning, or if he's just kind of changed his mindset. But another big move, and maybe even bigger in terms of the fantasy, happened this offseason. It's one of the teams that's done a bunch of this offseason. The Philadelphia Phillies were very active. We'll combine all these news into once because it creates a big question. They did sign Craig Kimbrel to a 1-year, $10 million contract, but they weren't done. They didn't just add one possible closer. They traded for Gregory Soto from the Detroit Tigers, along with a few other moves. So this creates a big logjam in that Philadelphia bullpen. You look at roster resource, and they have five people at one point projected as closers for the Phillies. So we're going to be scratching our heads off season. I can already tell, going back and forth as to who the favorite is for saves. Rick, we'll try and start with you, and you know, I'm sure all three of us will have a different answer. If you had to pick who is the favorite for saves in Philadelphia, who are you targeting for drafts, or are you just steering completely clear of his pen right now?
I don't know if I wouldn't steer completely clear because of there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of upside here. But yeah, picking someone out of this group of four potential closers is really, really hard. I think Craig Kimbrel right now, just because he's really, you know, he's known for pretty much only being successful in a closer role. I think, you know, similar, David Robertson wasn't their best reliever last year, but he was still their closer, and I wonder if that's going to be the same situation this season with Kimbrel, and then you can mix and match Soto, Alvarado, Dominguez later on. And I mean, this bullpen really is kind of stacked from top to bottom. All of a sudden, it's crazy to see some, like, one through seven. I mean, any one of these guys can close out games. But I wonder if Kimbrel, just the veteran, the guy who has the most saves in his career on the roster, if he gets the first shot. And then, you know, they can pull him out of there pretty soon if things falter.
Jake, anything you want to add? Or is Kimbrel your favorite as well?
I don't think Kimbrel's my favorite. I do agree that he's really struggled in setup roles, but I really don't think he proved enough last year to sort of run away with that role. I really think Sir Anthony Dominguez showed that he's got what it takes to be a closer last year, and he was really dominant in the postseason as well. So I think he's got the upper hand right now. But as Rick said, there are so many guys in this bullpen that have closing experience. I mean, that addition of Gregory Soto definitely muddies the waters, but I think he can clearly be a setup guy. But he is so good. They have two of the hardest throwing left-handers in all of baseball. So it's really incredible what they've done to a bullpen that has historically been a graveyard for relievers to go to. So I'm excited to see what they do going forward. I don't think I would steer clear of here. I just think it's probably the best idea to handcuff with a couple of the right-handers. I think it's good that two of the four guys that seem to be part of the closer committee right now are lefties, because you can sort of bank on them probably not closing out games, just in terms of the historical usage of closers. So if you can just draft Sir Anthony and Kimbrel in your draft and not draft them too highly, I think that could actually go pretty well, because the Phillies are going to be good this year, and that's a strong bullpen, so they're going to be handing leads to whoever closes out the ninth. So one of those guys are going to be getting a lot of saves, and even if they split, I think it's still going to be, you know, get you a lot of positive value.
Yeah, I think Kimbrel would probably be my favorite, basically for the reasons Rick said, for him being the veteran presence, but also I just pulled up the average draft position from the NFBC, and yes, it's very early. I've done it in the past week just to get an idea as to how the trends are going. It's only about seven drafts, so it's not a wide variety of data, but Dominguez is going currently at around pick 250. Craig Kimbrel is going almost 100 picks later at pick 345, and Gregory Soto is going at pick 392. So it's still, you know, it's a wide thing, but if I can get Kimbrel at that much of a discount between him and Dominguez, I'll take the shot on a pen like that. So I do think it's going to be kind of like how it's projected right now. Everyone's going to get between 6 to 10 saves at some point in the season. It's just trying to ride it. And I do echo what Jake says. Handcuff it, try and get two of these guys and hope you pick the right two. I think that can be a strategy that can be just as effective as getting one mid-tier closer, you know, mid 6 to 10, 10 to 15 range at a closer for rankings, which we'll get into down the road as we get closer to the spring. But we'll continue on with some of the news. We talked about some of these. We'll rapid fire these last couple moves before we hit a break, just see if this has any sort of relevance. The Phillies also acquired Junior Marte, Eric Ullman. The Braves traded for Lucas Lickey. The Orioles traded for Darwin's and Hernandez. And then waiver claims that have come within the past week or so. Julian Merriweather was just claimed, as we were recording this today, by a Chicago Cubs. J.B. Buscakis was traded by claimed by the Seattle Mariners. And Edward Uchida was claimed by the Detroit Tigers. we're not gonna, obviously don't need to go crazy in depth. Do any of these moves have any sort of a relevancy? Are you monitoring any of these closely? We'll start with you, Jake.
Sure. I think Junior Marte's somewhat interesting. Obviously, we just talked about how deep that Phillies bullpen is, so he probably doesn't have a huge chance. He throws really hard, and he was on the Giants before, so obviously I'll have some sort of affinity to him. And then outside of that, I think Bukauskas is pretty interesting. He was once a very highly regarded prospect, and that has sort of faded. He's now going to be 26 going into 2023, but the fact that he's going to Seattle, where they've had tons of success making relievers into shutdown arms, is very enticing, because I think he's got some good stuff, and he's probably they obviously see something in him. So I think he's got a shot at doing stuff there. We've seen a lot of unheralded names go through Seattle in the last couple of years and come out the other end as really successful relievers. So I think it's somewhat interesting to see a guy with his sort of prospect pedigree get claimed by the Mariners.
Just don't take away from our boy Andrés Muñoz. The fantasy industry loves him, and I'm hoping this doesn't hinder. But if it can somehow decrease his draft stock, I'm all for it. But Rick, are you monitoring any of these moves closely, or at least keeping an eye out?
I mean, Julian Merriweather going to the Cubs is kind of interesting. He was hyped up, what was that, 2 years ago? And we've seen how dominant he can be when he's healthy. He's just never in his whole entire career been able to stay on the field, unfortunately. But for a Cubs team that's that bullpen is kind of, there's not a lot of, you know, sure things, a lot of question marks there. He could definitely find his way into a setup or possibly closer role at some point this year, if, again, he can stay healthy. And then, you know, Lucas Lucchi going to the Braves, like, they needed another quality bullpen arm. So I think I'm a big fan of Dylan Lee, another lefty there in Atlanta, and I was thinking he could have a big breakout, almost, you know, AJ Minter like breakout this year as, you know, the number two lefty in that bullpen with Matzik out for the year. So I wonder how you know, Lucchi, how he factors in, if he takes away some setup, some hold chances from Lee, who, you know, could get. I was hoping for an expanded role for him this year.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep an eye on Merriweather, just because you said, I can almost guarantee we will be talking about him at some point for saves, because we mentioned it in the past, the Cubs don't have that established closer. I'm shocked with their kind of spending spree they've been on with getting Swanson and Hosmer and Mancini and Bellinger, that they haven't addressed the bullpen in some way outside of signing Brad Boxberger. But if Julian Merriweather, like you said, he has had that upside, and he could be someone you keep an eye on, because the Cubs can definitely turn to him just based on the success he has had in that role in the past when he was with Toronto. But other than that, I don't think any of these, you know, none of these stand out, but keep an eye out. I think, like you said, Bukauskas has shown good stuff in the past, and, you know, you brought up some names that are definitely worth monitoring. I guess Edward Nchita, you could keep some sort of eye out from Detroit, and that makes me think of something I completely overlooked with the trade. With Soto out of Detroit, it seems like a lot of people are leaning towards Alex Lang as the favorite in Detroit. Do either of you have a different insight? If he is the favorite, how high, you know, obviously we haven't done rankings yet at this point, but how high does he fall in? Is he kind of a locked in guy in Detroit now, or what's your read now with the Detroit side of things?
I think it's definitely Lang's role to lose there. He's far and away their best reliever now that they've moved on from Soto and Jimenez. I'm a huge Alex Lang. I think he's in that Alexis Diaz kind of range where, you know, really good reliever on a bad team, probably a middle, like 15, 16, you know, overall reliever. So I'm thinking that's going to put him probably in the around 200, maybe a little bit less than 200 range in most NFBC leagues. And I would be fine with paying that price for him.
I don't know about that. I feel like this is the prime spot for one of the remaining free agents to go, because there still seems to be so many arms, yeah. And a few of them do have closer experience, namely Michael Fulmer, Brad Hand. I mean, unfortunately, Aroldis Chapman. But there are still guys out there that have closing experience, and this seems like the perfect opportunity for the Tigers to go and scoop somebody up so that they don't raise the price on Alex Lang in arbitration going forward. And that seems like the type of move the Tigers would make. I think this is probably one of the opportunities where the team does it super close to the start of the season. So everybody starts drafting Lang thinking, oh, this is the guy, like, especially in TGFBI, which those drafts start like next month or something. People have no idea who the closers are going to be. Like, spring training hasn't even started. I think this is the type of guy that starts going really early once people start digging into closers a little deeper and see that he's the clear best reliever there and has pretty solid skills. And then they go and just block him with some reliever that they plan to trade at the deadline. So I would be a little bit wary drafting Lang.
Yeah, his ADP is currently all over the place. Like you said, I'm looking at it the past week for ADP and FBC. He's currently right around pick 250. His min is pick 181, and his max is pick 377. So I'm sure to pick 181 is probably on Rick's side of things where he's established, and the other guys are on Jake's side where it's, no, there's still someone going to be signed with Detroit. And I could see him still making a move, but with the names that are still out there, they have the closer experience, but I could see them trying to switch over to Lang, but it wouldn't shock me if it comes a little bit of a crowd of a situation. But if you want to go get some Alex Lang share, now might be the best time because he's only going to continue to increase as we get closer, like I said, to the TGFBI drafts or anything within the next month or so. But I'm definitely thinking he's got this job and hopefully can run with it. We'd like having the established closer on the show. And
if Will Smith's taking saves away from him or someone like that, that's gonna sting a little bit. It should be his job compared to all the rest of these free agents. But yeah, I mean, Jake's absolutely right that I could see the Tigers, you know, just taking someone for a year and trading him at the deadline to keep Lang's value down.
Yeah, their next best reliever in terms of the setup men is Jason Foley and Jose Cisnero. Not even that really excites you, and the Tigers are trying to build themselves back up, so it wouldn't shock me, like I said, if they bring in somebody, just hopefully it's a lesser name that kind of leads us to Alex Lang. But in terms of where he's going right ahead, right behind, Pete Fairbanks, only a few picks ahead of Kendall Graveman, a little bit after Paul Sewald as well, so that's still right around the range that he's currently going for, but it's still very, very early in draft season, but just some names to monitor as we move forward at this point. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to dive into some team preview sort of things. We're going to look into some teams you want to monitor going into spring training, teams that have improved in the offseason that should have plenty of exciting names, and teams you start monitoring as you get closer to your draft season. So we'll cover that and more when we get back on the In the Pen podcast. And we're back here. I'm Callan, joined with Jake and with Rick. And so we're going to dive into some of the team preview. Like I said, we're going to get into spring training and go team by team, who's the closer, things like that. But right now, we want to just give you a few top bullpens to monitor that have deep pens that if you miss out and you're looking for holds, they also have elite guys who can get you holds outside of the top end saves guys. So we kind of came up with a top five sort of list. So Jake, I want to start with you. Give us a couple teams that you're monitoring in terms of the best bullpens that you want to target going into the 2023 season.
I think the AL West is the perfect place to go. And no, it's not because I'm an A's fan. It's the Mariners and the Astros. The Astros have shown to have one of the best bullpens in baseball. We saw in the postseason that they produced, wasn't it the lowest ERA ever for a bullpen in a postseason run? Something like that. They were pretty unstoppable, and they haven't really lost anybody at all out of that pen. They returned Rafael Montero, and they'll have guys like Brian Abreu and Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek and Phil Maton backing up Ryan Pressly. And we can even see late season call up Hunter Brown sort of factor into there as a swingman. So I think that's a really great bullpen to target. Just it's so deep. All the guys there are so good, and the Astros do such a good job at getting the most out of all their relievers that I think that's a really good spot to target. And then obviously the Mariners bullpen is super exciting. It's not really well-known names, but you know that they're going to get the most out of them. If Andrés Muñoz or Paul Sewald, if one of those guys don't end up as the closer, the other one's going to be highly coveted because both of them are really good and they can strike out a lot of batters and they're going to rack up at least some saves. And then the rest of that bullpen, like Diego Castillo and Penn Murphy, and especially Matt Brash, I think he could have a really exciting breakout. He was super good in the second half out of the bullpen. I think that entire bullpen is just going to provide tons of strikeouts, great ratios, lots of holds, especially for a team that we expect to be really good. So the AL West is ripe for finding some very dominant relievers that may not even be closers.
Rick, we'll turn it over to you. Who are some other teams that you are monitoring who have, kind of like Rick Jake said, that plethora of guys you want to get in both saves and saves plus holds league?
I'm going to turn it over to the NL East, and I'll go to Atlanta first, where I think that's a bullpen where one through at least five of their bullpen is some or guys you're going to want to look at in holds leagues. Iglesias back in a closer role. I have, you know, think he's still a top 10, top 12 closer, and, you know, one of the best setup duo in baseball right now, AJ Minter and Joe Jimenez right behind him. Definitely guys you want to target in holds leagues. Colin McHugh doesn't get a ton of holds, but he'll give you good ratios and, you know, eat up a lot of innings. And then talked about Dylan Lee earlier. Big fan of him as the second potential lefty in that bullpen. And, you know, Kirby Yates, another year removed from Tommy John. Maybe we can get something from him this year. He didn't look great last season, but, you know, another off, it gets a full spring training this year. Perhaps he can bounce back. And the other team I want to say is Philly. We talked about them already. The Phillies are just loaded from Dominguez, Alvarado, Soto, Kimbrel. And then even, you know, they spent some money on Matt Strom this year. Maybe it was a little too much, but he's a nice middle relief option for them. Gives them another lefty. And then, you know, Bilotti and Brogdon are two guys who on a lot of teams are probably, you know, in a seventh or eighth inning role. So that bullpen is just, you know, one through seven stacked right now. Possibly, I mean, it's funny, we always used to make fun of the Phillies bullpen, but that might be the best bullpen in baseball right now.
It's amazing what a year has done. So you say we always would talk about the Phillies with their pen as just not good, and always, but like you said, now it has so many names that you're targeting. And I know we talked about the confusion is for saves, but if you're in a saves plus holds league, we know how good this Phillies team is. We know they were obviously just in the World Series in the past year and are going to be competing in a very good NL East. So if you need holds, you could target, like you said, those four guys, and they have, you know, Bilotti and Strom, like you said, and Brogdon, who can chip in there as well. So it's crazy what a turnaround can do. And we kind of got into a top five, so I'll wrap it up for in terms of top five, and we can kind of bounce off each other before we move on. But Cleveland, to me, is a team I'm fully monitoring this season for a closer. We know how good it is. We have arguably the best closer in baseball from Manuel Clase. But outside of that, we saw what James Karinchak has done in the past. His strikeout stuff is unbelievable. We know he's going to be good. Trevor Steven took a big step forward in the past year and kind of became a very vaulted weapon out of that bullpen for Cleveland. So I expect another huge step forward for him in this coming season, jumping his K per nine by almost a full K per nine, becoming the almost setup man for him. Sam Hendricks has been good as a lefty, but a lot of names, we know how Terry Francona can manage a bullpen very, very well. I trust Cleveland move forward. And you say you give the ball to Class A in the ninth, and it's just game over. I'm very curious what he can do for an encore. So while it doesn't have as many names in terms of competing for saves, the amount of names who are going to be getting the ball to Class A puts Cleveland on this list for me.
Yeah, statistically, that's got to be one of the best returning bullpens from last year. I mean, yeah, those top four you mentioned, that's, you know, and even, you know, Eli Morgan had a pretty good year. He kind of struggled in the second half, but yeah, that's a really, really deep, another really deep pen who, yeah, if you're talking about saves holds leagues, that could be another. Minnesota's going to be good again this year, but the rest of that division still, Detroit, Kansas City, still probably a few years away.
Yeah. Any teams that you guys were on the radar in terms of this that you want to monitor, or, you know, we can move over to the other portion of this segment, but is anybody you were, I was like, just missed this list that you want to just kind of put an honorable mention for?
You know, I think there's a lot of teams that have about two or three pieces, but they don't really, I think Toronto, just because they added Eric Swanson, I think that really, really helps their bullpen, because Bass and Garcia are probably better off not as eighth. They're probably more, you know, sixth, seventh inning guys, ideally. So I think Swanson really helps lengthen out that bullpen. And if Mizek can come back and give them a good full year, that bullpen can be pretty good too.
I think the Padres and Cardinals are pretty good as well. Padres, if Hader recovers next year with Robert Suarez as the setup guy and other guys like Luis Garcia and Drew Pomeranz there, could be really solid. And then also the Cardinals, just having Ryan Helsley and Gallegos close out the back end of the game, it's pretty hard to top that 1-2 punch. And then if Jordan Hicks stays in the bullpen, you can sort of see that bullpen sort of come into its own with a lot of high strikeout guys that throw really hard.
Yeah, I was very close to throwing the New York Mets on there as well. I know they lost Lugo and Trevor May, but they haven't done a bad job in terms of replacing. They added Adam Ottavino and David Robertson. Both trusted guys. Robertson had a bounce back year last year. Ottavino, he's hit or miss, but you know when he's on, it's still very dangerous. And they traded for Brooks Raley, who shouldn't be slept on in that pen as well. So they were very close to making this list for me in terms of the top five. And we know Edwin Diaz back there and the trumpets, how good he is. So I think the Mets are a team you want to monitor for in this category as well. But we'll transition over to the final portion of this. We want to talk about some of the most improved pens this offseason. We talked about how good they are, but there are some teams who, you know, we're going to monitor just based on they're kind of out of, they're jumping into that category. So Jake, we're going to start with you on this one. Who do you want to talk about? Obviously the Phillies have improved. If you want to dive into that a little bit more, you can, but is there any other teams in terms of most improved the offseason that deserve more talk than have they been given this offseason?
Sure. I think the Phillies are really obvious. This has basically been a Phillies-themed podcast, which is fair. They won the NL pennant, so they sort of deserve a little bit of extra talk this offseason. But yeah, they are clearly maybe the most improved in general, just because they've added so many high upside arms that have a lot of experience, especially late in ball game. So that really makes them look more improved than any bullpen out there. I think you could consider the Mets improved if you talk about what they looked like after the World Series ended. So without their free agents on their team, like you said, Seth Lugo and even Ottavino was a free agent, and they've done a good job to replace those guys with a Rayleigh and bringing Ottavino back and bringing Diaz was a free agent too. So they had a lot of guys that were free agents. So I think they've done a good job at returning their bullpen to full strength, which is important. And then I'll leave Rick's team for him. So that's pretty important, but I'll touch shortly on the Reds, who seem to be bringing back a couple of injured guys in Lucas Sims and TJ Antone. I can't really speak on them too much. They really didn't do much last year and were sort of up and down in 2020 because it was, or in 2021 because it was an awkward season for them for many reasons, mostly for Antone because he got injured. But yeah, I'd love to hear what Rick has to say about two Red teams.
Yeah, I mean, before the injuries to Sims and Anton, they were both climbing up the holds list or closer list. I mean, they were two of the top relievers in baseball. So I think Sims has been a bit of a roller coaster with injuries. So I'm almost more, you know, uncertain of what his health's going to be in for next year. But Anton coming back from surgery, I think he should slot right back into it. Set up role and definitely someone to keep an eye on in holds leagues. Yeah, I guess the Red Sox definitely would be the other team that improved, but I don't, you know, I'm thinking about it more. It's like, yes, Jansen's nice. Chris Martin's a nice addition. But you also are going to probably lose Garrett Whitlock to the rotation. Possibly Tanner Houck too. If Houck stays in the bullpen, then gives him a little bit more depth there, but They could obviously use another lefty there, but overall the bullpen was not great last year. Definitely a problem. It should be much improved this year with just Jansen and Martin and Schreiber, you know, in the top three roles, you know, for the end of game situations. But definitely looking forward to seeing the bullpen at least if for nothing else, because the rotation and lineup are just not getting me excited.
Yeah, I feel for you. It's going to be a weird season in Boston, but you know, it's always these weird seasons that come up and all of a sudden Boston's good again. And this is all still plenty of time. They could make a move that gets you excited again, but it has been the off season you expected there. But I do like, you said, like what they did in the bullpen. Chris Martin's been kind of slept on over the years and how just consistently good he's been. And Kenley Jansen, we know how, you know, he's one of the better relievers we've watched in recent years, how dominant he's been in the past. He's not the same, but you know he could be trusted in the back end. And I do really like the Reds call because we don't talk about them enough, and last year we kind of had the toss and turn of who the heck is closing games for the Reds, and they still won't be a good team, but if Alexis Diaz back there, and if Lucas Sims and TJ Antone can come back and be the guys they were before their injuries, suddenly it's a back three in the bullpen where it's like, okay, you have something before you trade one of them away to try and rebuild. But I think that that can be a team worth monitoring in terms of your saves plus holds, because it's a good, young, very talented back end back there. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a very, very fun offseason. There's still plenty of names to monitor to add to this. So I guess before we wrap it up, we kind of talk about the moves beginning here. Why don't we just run through a few names that are still out there. Jake, you mentioned some of these names at the beginning of the show in terms of who's out there. Is there anybody still as a free agent that you want to monitor closely? As we always say, it's team dependent on where they go. But do you think any of these guys, any guys who are still sitting out there, you're going to be interested in terms of values, or someone you're monitoring closely to see where they go just based on improvements from last year or anything like that?
I think the two most interesting ones for me are Michael Fulmer and Alex Reyes. Fulmer has always shown lots of potential as a pitcher in general. He was a rookie of the year back when he debuted a long time ago, and now he's a reliever, so he's been pretty solid. I think this is actually the type of guy that could go and fill in the closer role in Detroit, because he has experience playing there and they've used him as the closer there. So he's somewhat interesting for teams that still want a closer. And then Alex Reyes has probably got the most potential out of everybody that's still a free agent. He strikes out tons of guys. He walks too many guys and he never stays healthy. But if he goes to the right team that can sort of work around his deficiencies, he could really turn into an elite reliever like we saw for the first half of, was that 2019? I think it was.
I think you're right.
He was really good in that first half. Definitely really lucky in terms of left on base and BABIP and all that kind of stuff, and he fell apart in the second half and lost the closer role, but he's got tons of potential. It was 2021?
It feels like it was sooner than 2019. And it wasn't the pandemic. So
2016, he had a good 12-game stretch, but
I think it was 2019. No, well, he had three innings that year. Yeah, it was 2021. Yeah, 2021, you're right. Guys. You're right.
So it wasn't that long ago. So that's in his favor. 95 exactly. Strikeouts in 72 innings. So I mean, yeah, that's a good. I mean, I can't believe it. There hasn't been any news on him because he has battled health problems, but he's still relatively young, and you know that type of upside doesn't usually just sit sit around in free agency at this point in the off season. So
you'd think a team like Miami or something would have jumped all over that, like a young pitcher with how good they've developed pitching and how they seem to always be looking for bullpen arms. It just seems like a match that's too good to be true, and I'm surprised they haven't made that jump yet.
Yeah, all of those teams that really. You know, we're not expecting to win a lot of games, even like the Tigers, Nationals, what's the Nationals bullpen look like? I mean, there's a lot of teams that would make sense to give him a shot, but yeah, he's still available. And I mean, the only other person on this list that I like, but it's only for holds leagues, would be Andrew Chafin. I think I'm surprised he's still available given his track record. He's been consistent pretty much year in, year out as dominating lefty with one of the better sliders in the game. So I expect him to sign with I'm expecting him to sign with a contender and get a lot of holds chances wherever he lines up.
Yeah, I've seen Zach Britton's name kind of floated around the rumor mill lately. I saw that the Mets had some interest in him, and if he goes there, he could have some holds potential while fighting out Brooks Raley. But other than that, I don't think any of these really get me too excited. You are right, Rick. You said at the beginning of the show, I weirdly seeing Will Smith going somewhere and taking away saves from someone we want to be excited about for fantasy. And we've had our names last year. It was Anthony Bender was the guy you and I were both very excited about. And then Art Warren in Cincinnati. It's going to be something like that. Like, it's a younger guy that we want to be excited for, but Will Smith is going to go in and just eat away saves. Meet a boring guy that you just draft late. But
him and Brad Hand. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
I will say, too, I guess while it's worth mentioning, probably, because I saw this rumor today that Haroldis Chapman is potentially being linked to the Miami Marlins. I know we don't like that, but he probably would be closing games for them if he does go there. So it's another name to keep an eye on, I guess.
Yeah, he'll be, if he goes there, he probably is a favorite for saves, but I say this is a Yankee fan. Good riddance, but as a fantasy player, oh, that's cheap saves, and am I going to draft it? Oh, it's possible, and I don't want to do it. It sounds so gross, but I might do it. We'll see how it goes during the draft season, but you know, it's going to be worth monitoring. By the time we record next month, we will have pitchers and catchers, I believe, reporting by the time we record next, but or very close to it. So we're going to start getting into some rankings, some real player debates, and dive in. We're getting closer and closer to that draft season where we're going to really start getting into some strategy and things, but and have some probably news to wrap up some of these. And you never know. There could be a trade thrown in, like a Gregory Soto type trade that we have to stop a show and talk about because there's still plenty of moves to happen. We're still about a month away from spring training, so the offseason is not over yet. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Independent Podcast. I am Callan, joined as always with Jake and with Rick. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.